Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. If you have a Bible, it's on page 1139. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has just given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Good morning, let's pray.
Father God, we thank you for your presence with us as we worship and as we receive communion. We thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit, that you have spoken to us by your word, Lord. So as we listen to you together, Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, my name's Adam. I am the Vicar of St. Paul's. It's a delight to speak to you this morning. A particularly warm welcome to you if you're visiting or you're here for the first time today. This talk does come with a health warning. Normally, I try and make sure all the talks at St. Paul's are as accessible to anybody as who would just walk in off the street. However, this in January, we're looking at vision and stewardship. Last week was vision, this week's stewardship. Next week is response during the big breakfast. A lot of what I have to say today is directed specifically to those of you who would call yourselves members of St. Paul's. Hopefully, if you're not yet a member of St. Paul's, you will find this helpful or interesting. But please, we are talking about money today. And when we talk about money, we talk to our members rather than everybody. So that's the health warning. Let's move on. So this morning is stewardship, and we looked at that passage from Romans. Thank you for reading that, Anne. Last week, when we thought about vision, we looked at an image that the Apostle Peter wrote in one of his letters about the church, where he talked about the church being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a holy people, a chosen people, and a holy nation. This week, this is an image that the Apostle Paul writes about one of the images of the church. There are so many different images of the church, and this one is the one of the body. The fact that we are all parts, those of us who are members of the church are all part of one body, and we need to work together doing the different jobs that we've been given by God to get the jobs done. I've chosen this picture for my slides, and normally I'd change my picture as I went through the slides, but I've left this one up today because gardening is a really great metaphor for what we're doing here in the church as well. Jesus spoke a lot about agriculture. He spoke a lot about farming. This idea that actually as a church, what we're doing in our own lives and in our communal life and in the life of those outside the church is we're preparing the ground. We're sowing the seeds. We're watering the plants. We're weeding where necessary, and we're allowing God to grow. A healthy plant given good soil, good light, good water, protected from weeds, will grow. And that's what we want to see God do in our lives and in the life of our church. So this image of stewardship is going to stay up throughout. But this morning's big idea is this, that we all have something to give. Just in case you're wondering, because this often happens when you're listening to a talk in church or something, you read something like, we all, and you think, yes, everyone around me has something to give. All does include you, whoever you are. And something means something. It means that some of us have, we all have different things. God has created us in his image to have different gifts and different talents. And we all have talents and gifts that we can share with one another to serve him, to serve each other, the community, and our community outside and around us. So we all have something to give. The passage we read, that Anne read for us, talks about some of the different things that happen in church and some of the things that we need to get done. And one thing I want to say at the beginning of this talk is, and it's true, it was true for Paul and the churches that he led, and it's true for us too. If something needs doing at St. Paul's, it's us that needs to do it. We can't call on the council to get it done. We can't call on the Church of England to get it done. We can't call on the vicar to get it done. It's actually up to all of us to get the things done that need doing. And Paul talks about a number of different things. Some things at St. Paul's that we do tremendously well. For example, he talks about serving and encouraging. Those are two things that I've noticed since I've arrived at St. Paul's 3 months ago, that this church does fantastically well. Jen and I and our family have been encouraged so much by you and the community here since we arrived. Loved, looked after, it's been fabulous. I've been bowled over by the number of people who are on rotas at this church. Hopefully, if you're on a rota, you got a Christmas card from me saying thank you. Oh boy, did my hand ache by the time I'd finished writing those Christmas cards. I hadn't written that much in years. And part of me was thinking, we have got to change this. No, I was giving I was giving thanks whilst whinging slightly in my heart about how much my hand hurt that I had to write so many letters. A few things that in a moment we'll come to what I spoke about vision last week. A few things where I think the Lord is calling us to grow in. Namely, prophesying together, teaching together, and leading together. I spoke last week, and I'll just recap them quickly in a moment, about the fact I want us to be a community that leads together, that looks to where God is calling us together and walks together. Actually, God has gifted us all to encourage one another and bring each other on. Discipleship is about both who is discipling you and also who are you discipling. My son has forgiven me for going away for 2 days this week and now chases me around again, which I quite like, but it's going to cause his mum issues this morning. Showing mercy was another one that Paul mentioned. I think the church is good at this, but I think the church often forgets how good it is. Not in this church, but in other churches where I've worked. I've had people come up to me and say, I visited Muriel in hospital this week. Thank you very much. How is she? She's well, but she hasn't had anyone visit her from the church. Sorry, I thought you visited Muriel this week. I did, and she's doing very well, but no one's been to see her from the church. But it's very easy for us to forget, and it's easy for me, and I'm sure it's easy for Fiona to forget, that actually we are not the church. We are the church. Actually, when we extend love and encouragement to one another, that is the church doing that. Fiona and I love to visit people, but yes, that's another story. We are the church and we show mercy. I went on far too long at 9 o'clock, so I've got Fiona, she's sat there on purpose to scowl at me whenever I go off on a tangent. There you go. And finally, we need to look at giving, and we're going to do that for quite a lot of the rest of this talk. So I will just, before we do that, recap what I spoke about last week. If you didn't hear my talk last week and you can, then please do go online and listen to it. The great thing about listening online is you can click the button that says 1.5 time. So I talk much quicker and the sermon lasts much less time. So really, that's ideal. Why you're all here, I'm not sure. Okay, could we scrap that off the tape for this week, Sarah? Is that all right? Tangent. Thank you. The things we spoke about last week is 1, appointing a full-time youth pastor. 2, seeking God's vision together, which I've already touched on a little. But that's going to involve the congregational survey, which Fiona announced at the beginning. There are copies at the back, but if you can go online and fill it in there, then it is quick and simple. It's just 10 questions, and it saves us typing it back in. So do go and do that. We want to hear from everybody, not just those who shout loudest. So this is an opportunity for us all to have our say. Then in Lent, we're going to have a season of prayer and discernment and listening to God. After that, when the new PCC is appointed, we're going to take a time to take all the surveys, the things we've been praying about, the things we feel the Lord may have been saying to us. And as a PCC and a leadership team, we're going to distill those and look at what God is calling us to next before we share the vision with you. The last thing is discovering our gifts and learning to minister together. Again, this goes back to what does it mean for us all to be church, which we've spoken about when we looked at Paul's letter. Giving. We need to talk about giving. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. But before we do this, I just want to remind you of my health warning. If you consider yourself a member of St. Paul's Church, if this is your church and you're part of this family, this is all for you. If you're new here today and you're thinking of joining, when you do join, and we hope that you do, this will be for you then. And if you are just visiting and you live somewhere else, I hope that this can encourage you to think about what it means to be part of the family and the church where God has called you, whether that is Stepney or Singapore or Sydney. If anyone's in from Sydney today, I'm looking for a holiday destination for next year. If you've got a nice house, speak to me afterwards. Tangent. Thank you. Giving in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, I just want to just go quickly over giving in the Bible. I want to give us an understanding, a rooting in biblical understanding of what it means to give. The first thing to say is, from the Bible's perspective, we only give to God out of that which he has given to us. Everything that we have, whether it is a lot or a little, God has given to us out of his great love. So the first thing to remember, C.S. Lewis referred to it as God being sixpence none the richer. Anything we give to God, we're actually just giving back to him, because he gave it to us. But giving in the Old Testament is split into 2 separate sections. The first is tithing. This is where everybody in the nation of Israel would be expected to give 10% of everything they received back to God at the temple, for the work of the temple, to support the priests and the Levites and the people who are the singers, the people who worked in the temple. So whether they were harvesting mint or they were digging up gold, or whether they were reproducing camels, they would be... I don't know where camels came from, but that's a good one, isn't it? Don't go visual on that, Fiona, all right? The Lord is not calling you to camel farming.
Tangent?
Thank you. They were expected to give 10% back to the Lord. On top of that, they were also expected from time to time to give offerings, whether there was something specific that needed to happen, whether the temple needed building or rebuilding, whether there was a reason in their lives. If they had just had a new child, they might give an offering. If it was a great harvest, they might give an extra offering. So on top of the 10%, they would give other offerings throughout the year. The good news is that the New Testament doesn't expect you to give 10%. The clue was in the word good news. The good news is that the New Testament doesn't expect us all to give 10%. That's better, thank you. In the New Testament, the believers gave everything they had. Isn't that wonderful? Let's have a look at a few things that do characterize give. That is true, by the way. But let's look at a few things that characterize giving in the New Testament. The first of those is that giving in the New Testament is joyful. I am not here this morning to bash you over the head with an accounts sheet and to tell you you must give blah, 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 blah. I don't want you to go away thinking that you've been a naughty boy or a naughty girl and that you need to behave better in future. I'm here to talk to you about what the Lord, we feel the Lord is calling us to, the fact that that's going to cost money, and the fact that that money's coming from nowhere else. If you don't give that money, then we won't do those things. And that's that, really. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't like a vicar who bashes his sheep. So this is all about kind of what you feel the Lord is calling you to do. Secondly, New Testament giving is generous. It's difficult to quantify generosity, isn't it? When Jesus spoke about giving and generosity, he spoke about giving a full portion, filled to the top, pressed down, and overflowing. And he said, when you give like that, it will be given to you. But what does it mean for us to be generous? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking the best thing I could think of was that we give not as little as we can get away with, basically. But we give out of the generosity of our hearts. If you remember, we're actually only giving out of what God has given to us. It's like, and this is C.S. Lewis's point, it's like when your children get you a Christmas present. And you've been... Hi, Joss. It's like when your children get you a Christmas present and you've been giving them pocket money all year. I don't know how much pocket money is in Kingston. Let's say 50p a week. Okay, the laughs imply I need to... Don't tell my children you all laughed at that. Let's say £1 a week. You've been giving them £1 a week for all whole year. It's come to your Christmas present and you're like, this is going to be good. I've been investing in these children. I've been giving them things. I've bought them presents. And they've got at least £52 to work with. None of it has been spent on tat in the local shops. None of it has been spent on Fortnite online. This is going to be good. And you get there Christmas morning. Your beloved children bring you this delicately wrapped present. You open it up, and it's a Mars bar. Thank you, darling. Actually, you say thank you, don't you? As a mother or a father, you are delighted that they would give you anything. You don't sit there thinking, do you know how much I gave you this year? Do you know how much I spent on your presents? If we're not like that, how much more is our Father in heaven not like that? When you give to him, he doesn't sit there thinking, I've given them that nice house, and I've given them that beautiful partner, and I've given them that job, and all I get is this. That is not what God is thinking. It's not what you and I think when our families give us presents. It's not what God thinks when we give to him. Let's be generous. Finally, sacrificial. When I think about sacrificial, I think about the fact that actually it's very easy for us to think, well, I've got my income, I've got my taxes, they come off, don't they? Then it's however much you pay on your mortgage or your rent. Then it's how much you've got on groceries, that's important, insurance, telephones, heating, lighting. Then maybe what's the essentials of the week? A couple of Starbucks maybe, some coffees, a new jumper, some clothes, gifts for the family. Eventually you get down to the bottom and say, well, Sunday morning, what have I got left? I think sacrificial giving is not about putting ourselves in a place of poverty. I don't think that that is what we're being called to do. But I do think it's about thinking first about what we give rather than what we spend and then give if we've got some left in our back pocket at the end of the month. That's one of the reasons that we encourage members, people who consider themselves part of this family, to give by standing order monthly. It just comes out of your bank, and unless you're a really keeno like me and you've got a budget app, you never even notice it's gone. We give out of what the Lord gives us first and then live off the rest. So what does this mean for 2019? Are we doing better than we did at 9 o'clock? Excellent. First of all, I want to say thank you for 2018. For those of you who have been here for a while will know, at the end of last year, we had a gift day because we were looking like we were going to fall significantly short on our budget for 2018. After those gift days, after some generous gifts, it's looking like there might even be a wee surplus at the end of the year. So give yourselves a round of applause. Give God a round of applause because he is good. You're getting into this interaction thing, aren't you? That means two great things. One, we're going to be able to give some more money away to our mission partners, which is fantastic. And two, we don't have to start 2019 having eaten into our reserves, which we don't have many of, in order to get going for the next year. So thank you for everybody who gave last year. That is wonderful. But I have a dream. I stole that from someone. I have a dream. And that is that I don't want to be in autumn 2019 where we were in autumn 2018. I don't want to be coming before you as a church and saying, it looks like we're not going to break even this year. If you want to give money to give thanks to God for our budget to balance, then please dig deep into your pockets. What I would really love to do is I'd love to come to you at the end of 2018, around October, around Thanksgiving, around harvest, and say, God has been good to us this year. So therefore, we're going to have a gift day, and we're going to give all of the money away. We can choose some charities that to support and encourage, and just as a thanks offering, we can give all that money away. That is part of my dream. I also would love us to know throughout the year that we can meet the budget that we've set. We are, as you have heard already, hoping to employ a youth pastor. And when I went to the PCC, they were really encouraging. It's probably because it was my first meeting. It'll change. That was nervous laughter. Do you know something I don't know? But they were really encouraging. They thought it was time to employ a new youth pastor. They thought it was time to employ a full-time youth pastor. But they quite rightly wanted to know how on earth we were going to pay for it. Because actually, if we're employing staff, we have a responsibility to those staff. If you're staff in the room, shut your ears. We have a responsibility to those staff to pay them their wage each month to give them job security, to give them options for the future. And actually, if we're always wondering whether we've got enough money, that is no job security. We've all been there. So I would really love us to commit to giving at the beginning of the year, so we can know throughout the year that we have the security for our budget, for our employees, that we don't have to come back at the end of the year and ask for more money. I also want us to commit to giving at the beginning of the year, so we can, when we look at where God is calling us, we see what resources we have to go. Because actually, if we're going through a discernment process of where God is calling us, and in the back of everybody's mind is, how are we going to pay for that? And we need more faith. Pray for us. Pray for all of us that we have more faith that God will provide when he calls, because I think he will. But actually, if we're committing in advance to giving that money, then it makes that discernment process much easier. And then we won't have to rely on the gift day. So here is the headline figure, come into land. Next, the PCC set a budget for next year of £322,073. £322,073. No pence. If you want to know what the £3 is for, I suggest you ask the church treasurer at the end of the meeting. And this pulls into the, brings up the question, is this possible? I genuinely did this on the back of an envelope. So all the accountants in the room, maybe kind of shut your ears at this point, because this isn't going to make you happy. This is back of the envelope stuff. I looked up the average income of a household in the UK. And the average household income in the UK, according to the Office of National Statistics for 2017, was £27,300. I did later find out you can get the same figure for Kingston Borough. The average household income for Kingston Borough is £44,700. So we're going to stick with the figure of £27,300 because works for the illustration, but just keep in the back of your mind that in Kingston, the average figure is much higher than that. And of course, it is an average figure. Some of you are looking at that thinking, oh, I'd like to earn that much a year. And others are thinking, somebody only earns that much a year. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, it's not fair. But that is the average. According to our database, there are 223 households who consider themselves a part of St. Paul's Church. Now, that is a slightly more difficult figure to quantify because, say, for example, a husband comes to church but his wife does not, or kids come to church but their parents do not, then actually it makes whether that household income is... So, okay, there's a little bit of grace in there, going back to the other figure. Pits and roundabouts. So, working on the theory of 10%, which was the Old Testament base for giving to the temple, to the God, to the house, for the running of everything, who's going to do the maths? Someone in the 9 o'clock got it in 10 seconds. Maybe more accountants there, I don't know. What figure do you think would be our giving based on that? Pardon? Higher. £608,790. That's if we all earned the average and if everybody, every household gave 10%. If you add on top of that the gift aid we can recover and the hall lettings, which isn't very much, I forgot to say at the beginning of this talk, 89% of the income of this church comes from you and I. You and I. We don't get money from the Church of England. We don't get money from the government. We don't get money from the council. We don't get We only get a little bit of money from renting out this building, which basically goes back into heating and lighting the building for the people who are renting it. 89% of the money we have comes from people giving. If you add on gift aid and lettings, that would come to about 750,000. This figure of 300, I've forgotten it off the top of my head, and 22,000 is doable. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is my part to play in this? Can I start giving to St. Paul's? Some of you in this room have become members recently, or maybe have been members for a while and haven't thought about giving. When I first became a Christian, it took me a long time to get my head around what it means to give to the church. Ask yourself, can I start giving? Maybe even start with 1%. Be sacrificial, be generous, be joyful, and maybe start with 1%. Maybe you can start higher than that. When did I last change the amount I gave to St. Paul's? Maybe you've been giving for many years and you set up a standing order 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and you've left it and you've been dutifully paying that. Can you increase that again by maybe 1%? Will that one less Starbucks a week? I don't know. Think about it. Another question. Last time my income increased, did I increase my giving to St. Paul's? It's easy, isn't it, again, to forget that actually when my incomings go up, maybe I need to remember to change my standing order. And finally, have I considered St. Paul's as a beneficiary to my will? I don't want to talk about this in great detail, but I just want to say I am aware of the fact that some of us, in the area that we live, because of the property prices, we can be very wealthy people, but all of our money is tied up in the place where we live. And actually, cash flow can be very difficult. And if that's you, have you considered St. Paul's as a beneficiary to your will? I think we can do this, and I think that God is good, and he will give us all that we need to fulfill the vision that he will put before us. But we do all have a part to play in that. So I encourage you to ask, if you're a member of St. Paul's, to ask yourself these questions. If you're thinking of becoming a member of St. Paul's, think about these questions. And if you're a member of a church somewhere else, then I hope I can bless whichever church minister you have there today, if you can think about some of those things. Thank you.